Fourth, what baptism indicates. What does such baptizing with water indicate? Where is this written?
St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live in the Lord.
Luther believed that the etymological force of baptismos, that's the Greek word, was immersion. However, he did not, with the reform, think the plunging underwater and coming out again was merely a symbol of dying and rising. No, the action of baptism indicated what really happened in it, and more happened than we think did. First, baptism indicates that you've gotten the whole death thing over with already. Been there, done that. 19th century missionary John Calvert went to the Fiji Islands. The captain of the ship taking him tried to dissuade him, saying that he would lose his life and those with him among such savages. Calvert replied, "We died before we came here." And so it is with all the baptized. We are buried with Christ through baptism into death, says Romans 4 from Paul. After being buried in afraid of being buried in a dark, dank grave? Well, that's old hat. You've already had that happen and you've lived to tell about it. Your baptism means that the old Adam in you should daily die. Why? Because that's what baptism with water indicates did happen. You return to this truth each time you make the sign of the cross over yourself in the name of the triune God that you've been baptized into. The unbelieving you that trusts what it can verify with its five senses and nothing beyond that, the unbelieving you entered the grave with the crucified Christ when baptismal waters were applied. The old Adam, the sinful nature, the flesh that will do anything, promise anything not to die, that kicks and screams, begs and pleads not to die, did die when you were baptized. All that Adam and Eve bequeathed to us, the dissatisfaction with God, no matter how good you have it, the desire to hide from God and thinking you can do it, the blaming others, even God himself, for your sins, well, all that is dead. In the Large Catechism, we ask, what is the old man? We answer, he is what is born in us from Adam, irascible, spiteful, envious, unchaste, greedy, lazy, proud, yes, and unbelieving. He is beset with all vices and by nature has nothing good in him. All of him was buried with Christ in baptism. When the Franks were baptized, they would hold their right hand out of the water so that they could say that that hand had never been baptized and could swing their battle axes freely. The modern equivalent would be holding your wallet, your plans, your opinions, your education, your service, or your pet sins out of the font. But that's not what baptizing with water indicates. Indications are that all of you was buried with Christ in baptism and that a new man emerged and arose who is righteous and pure. First, baptizing with water indicates you've gotten the whole death thing over with already. Second, baptism is not a one and done proposition. Oh, you can only be baptized once. We confess this. Even if we were immersed in water 100 times, it would nevertheless be only one baptism. But baptism indicates that Augustine doesn't live here anymore. Augustine was converted from a promiscuous life to Christ, we're talking 400 AD. While walking on the beach, he sees a woman from his past. He doesn't acknowledge her even when she greets him. He keeps on walking. She stops and says, "Augustine, it's me. Augustine walks faster. She follows. Augustine begins to run. She begins to run, saying, "Augustine, it's me. It's me. Don't you remember me?" Still running, Augustine calls out over his shoulder, "Augustine doesn't live here anymore." Baptism is not a portal into spiritual life which you pass through once and now that's behind you. No, we confess that we are to regard our baptism as our daily dress, which we wear at all times. Baptism says our old Adam while baptism slays our old Adam while covering us with Jesus' blood and righteousness, which is our beauty in our glorious dress. Baptism snatches us from the jaws of the devil and makes God our own, overcomes and takes away sin, and daily strengthens the new man. That's what we say in the Large Catechism. Well, if Augustine does still live here, that indicates you're not using your baptism. You're resisting it. Here's what we say we believe. When we enter Christ's kingdom, this corruption must daily decrease so that the longer we live, the more gentle, patient, and meek we become, and the more free from greed, hatred, envy, and pride. Where this amendment of life does not take place, we confess, the old Adam is given free rein and continually grows stronger. When that happens, baptism is not being used, but resisted. When we become Christians, the old man daily decreases until he is finally destroyed, end quote. The good news is that if Augustine does still live here, does still live with you, you can always get back into the boat. Catholic theology thinks of baptism as a one and done thing. If you fall from faith, out of the church, out of your baptism, the only way back is to find a floating piece of wood and kick your way back to the ship. This second plank, Catholicism calls penance. We confess, this interpretation deprives baptism of its value, making it of no further use to us. Falling out of the ship of the church into water is bad. But what really happens when we resist our baptism is we're falling out of water. The solution is to make the sign of the cross, to remember your baptism, and to dive back in it. The water is still wet. The water is still forgiving. The water is still rescuing. The water is still life-giving. Tertullian, another saint circa 200 AD, said, "But we little fishes are born in water, nor have we safety in any other way than by permanently abiding in water. The monstrous creature, though, the devil, knows full well how to kill us little fishes." Take us out of the water. First, your baptism indicates you've gotten the whole death thing over with already. Second, your baptism indicates that Augustine doesn't live here anymore. And third, your baptism indicates that you do own the place. In the army, when you're standing at attention or parade rest, your eyes are to be fixed forward. If a drill sergeant catches you checking out what's around you, he barks, "You think you own the place?" In baptism, all things are yours. I mean, if forgiveness is, if deliverance from death and the devil is, and if eternal salvation is yours in baptism, what's left out? The passage we cite proves this. Romans 6:4 covers the fact that we pass through death and that Augustine doesn't live here anymore. No, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Only the Greek is not live a new life. It's literally walk about in a new life like you own the place. Whether you interpret live or translate walk about in a new life, it does not mean a step-by-step monitoring to make sure you're being righteous and pure. It does not mean constantly checking your spiritual temperature to see if there is the right degree of righteousness and purity going on in your fallen little heart. It does not mean walking about in a new life, continually using a dipstick in your heart, your soul, or life to see how much oil of righteousness or purity you have. Because the answer to that question is found in our explanation to the Lord's Prayer, where we say, we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. No, the walking / living before God in righteousness and purity forever that we confess is indicated by baptism. That's Ephesians 1 verse 4 theology. There we're told that God is chosen. God has decided to see us in Christ as holy and blameless. In your baptism, God does not see what you used to be. He sees Jesus. And just as he rose from the dead, with all sins paid for, with every law kept, and with death behind him, the devil defeated, and the everlasting life stretching out before him, that's how you get to walk about every day. You know why Chrysostom, 4th century AD, said the early church baptized people naked? Do you think it was to shame them, to humble them? No, he says it was to remind you of your former nakedness when you were in paradise and you were not ashamed. Many Christians act as if baptism covers them with shame, as if they are baptized into sin rather than into forgiveness, as if they're baptized into guilt rather than into a clean conscience, as if they're baptized into death rather than walking about in a new life that they own. You won't make use of such a baptism, not ever, let alone daily, not even in times of trouble. And in times of struggle, times of trouble, times of suffering, dying, failing, falling, you're going to return to what you think first made you a Christian. If you think it was your asking Jesus into your heart, you'll return to ask again. If you think it was your deciding to follow Jesus, you'll decide again. If you think it was your choosing of Jesus, well, guess what? You'll choose again and again and again and again. Confessional Lutherans, in contrast, teach the penitent to creep back to baptism. If an act of God, baptism, is what makes you a Christian, gives you the righteousness and purity to walk about before God forever, to baptism is where you're going to go. We confess as much in the Large Catechism. We say, if we wish to be a Christian, we must practice the work that makes us a Christian. We practice it in the morning when we wake up, and in that bedtime by making the sign of the cross, which takes us back once more into the death of the old Adam and the rising of the new. Baptism indicates more than you think. It indicates you're a Renaissance man or woman. You know, that's a much coveted title today. A Renaissance man or woman, well, that's a trendsetter. That's a breed apart. But the word Renaissance comes to us from Latin and French and from a Christian context. It refers to one born again. But what gets in your way in baptism part four is that little word should. You know that's a word of law, not gospel. So see, though, how it's used, though, in that context? The imperative should die and should live are the practical realization of what baptizing with water indicates did happen. The external sign, i.e. going in and coming out of water, indicates what really happened to you. That's what we say in our Large Catechism. Your baptism indicates you've died, your old Adam doesn't live here anymore, and you walk about in a new life, righteous and pure before God, like you only own the place, because in Christ, for his sake, you do. Socialite Angela Papadopoulos was on the torpedoed Lusitania in 1950. She was pulled from the sea, and she was given a sailor's uniform. She said, at my death, when and whenever it should be, I want to be buried wearing the uniform of a sailor. I still jealously guard it, she said decades later. The plain, rough uniform indicated to her that she had been saved from drowning. Our baptism indicates that we've been saved by drowning, and indicates very much more than that. Amen.